Don't look under the internet.
I'm recording it.
And yes. I, too, am recording.
And I'm James McAvoy.
And welcome to
Mr. Tumnus himself. And welcome to Don't Look Under the Internet, a show where James McAvoy will stop by every now and then and put his two cents in. So, yep. James, are you aware that there's a war going on right now?
Two wars, actually.
Two wars.
Two wars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two wars.
Why do I keep entertaining this? It's a very fucking skit. I will get that.
People should email their favorite jokes to the podcast email, and then we'll just beat them to death.
We will beat them, just, not your favorite.
Yeah, we are the champions of beating a dead horse.
Yeah, oh, God, pretty
yeah.
great.
Yeah. Oh,
speaking of dead horses, that's Doug.
What's up, brothers?
That's Jason. Hello, Mike.
That's Matt.
Nay.
I'm huffing glue.
Is right off the
horse
bat.
The same horse if you knock it down? As...
the horse of theuses.
Yeah, welcome to Don't Look Under the Internet.
That's how you know I'm winning this episode, because I broke Mike so early that he just said he was Mike.
Yeah, he's...
Hello, brother. So
what's up? What's up, brothers?
So we're going to kick this off with a little Daludi.
Class above your head.
Oh, that got me pretty damn good. I'm not going to lie. That was funny. Hello, brothers. So we had a couple people I want to shout out here today. First and foremost, we're going to play the classic game we always play. Do your name be sucking? And
suckin'
the first
or
we
fucking.
Have is... Birdface.
Sucking or fucking. I love it. Yeah.
Birdface MD.
Yes.
Birdface MD.
I'm
hell yeah.
There for that.
I like to think like of
B I R D.
B I R D, yes. Birdface
MD. Not like bird.
Like a flat.
I like it.
Dr. Bird.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to think of like I'm going in for my regular, like my prostate exam, and a man with a pigeon head's going to come and be like, let me take a look.
Does he know Harvey Birdman?
He might. Maybe it's his brother. Attorney at Bird Law.
Yeah.
Next we have the Shromping.
The what?
The what?
The Shromping.
The Shromping?
Like shrimp, but with an O. The Shromping. Oh.
Is it like a Shrekking or?
It's like
no,
a Shromping.
A shrimp.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't make the rules here. It's what it is.
What
it's
it
Shromping.
Is.
Yeah. I think it's a shrimp joke. It's shrimp humor. You wouldn't get it.
You mean to tell me?
You mean to tell me a shrimp humor?
Our Discord's all about shrimp humor lately. So.
Yeah,
I love it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You oh hell yeah, it. Dude. Oh man, I miss everything. I'm not in Discord ever, so I come to Discord.
Child.
I come to Discord every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. and that's when I record, and yep. occasionally on game nights.
I read everything that gets posted there, but I don't respond. I just do it to make sure King's doing his job.
The watchful eye. You're micromanaging his Discord.
I send King lots of passive aggressive messages.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I feel like I haven't got any good responses back from King lately. I just tell him he sucks all the time and seems to be doing a good job.
Mm. Demote him.
Yeah, because I passive aggressively tell him what to do. That's why he's doing a good job.
That concludes our segment on the housekeeping.
Concluded. Good job, everyone.
What?
Two decent names. We'll take it this week.
What?
Hell yeah.
What are we today? Like, what are we talking about today?
Dead horses.
We're talking about at least dead horses.
Maybe, well, we've covered that. Yeah.
We have been dead, and we've beat them. We have beat the shit out of them. How about frogs? You guys want to do frogs today?
I almost
Depends
ran over a
frog,
frog with my lawnmower this week.
Holy
that
shit.
Sounds traumatic.
Can you imagine? I just watched Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure or whatever the shit it's called today.
Why?
What the hell is that?
You've never seen that? It's a Disney movie.
It's really old.
Basically, a toad gets, I guess, drunk
and gets
steals
a car.
Yep. And then gets arrested.
This is a Disney movie?
Yeah. What?
Go yeah, look no, for real.
Mr. A toad frog getting ride. A DUI?
Is this the same as Prostitute movie? Mickey?
It's Mr. Toad and Ichabod. It's like a double feature movie, but yeah, it's pretty funny. Mr. Toad's a wild guy. His ride at Disney is him just getting drunk and then going to hell.
Yep.
Okay.
One of the best rides there.
Is the movie just 90 minutes of, like, it starts off with him getting arrested, and then the rest of it is just, like, his court procedures? Like, him getting fingerprinted?
It's no joke, 30 minutes of him going into what they call motor mania, stealing a car, and then going to court.
That's one badass frog.
He said it's an old movie. It was just a different time. You wouldn't get it.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand toad humor, Mike.
Getting a DUI was just a regular Tuesday for your average alcoholic father.
And frog. Frogger. And frog.
Yeah. Wholesome fun for the whole family.
No. So this frog that we're talking about, a frog today, kind of.
We are. I mean, that's the closest animal I could put to it that it actually exists on Earth.
Bat frog.
It's like a frog bat.
No.
Fab.
Bat frog. Fat frog.
I'm going to try to pronounce this name because he told it to me like 5 minutes ago and I forgot it already.
I know you did. You got it, man. I believe in you.
Do you have the wiki pulled up?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have the wiki pull up with this freaky ass name. It's a Cthulhu corner. Hey, that's what we're doing.
Hey,
it's,
Cthulhu.
Sathagua.
Holy, yeah.
Sathagua.
Wow. You got okay, there quicker so, than you got ephemeral. I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's
not even
that
is
yeah.
say
impressive.
That word.
How did you
I watched the TikTok. Uh-oh. I'm not even trying it.
I'll tell you this. If you want the shorter version, go to our TikTok at dilutypod.com. This one's more fun. This one is very fun, but you were very close, Mike. It's Sathakua. Like, it almost sounds like Q's.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
I hate him already.
Another way to pronounce it is Zathakwa.
Yeah.
To Sathagagua.
T-S-A-T-H. That's bad. That's probably the worst one you've done.
it's also known as Zathakua.
Wait, before you go through that, don't do that yet.
No, I do that one.
We're going to make you do that as a bit.
Yeah.
Great, I can't wait.
The part that you're going to want to look for, Mike, is the under relatives where it says HPL and then circle. In teal and blue letters. And there's a whole bunch of yellow names.
Great, I can't wait. Well,
yeah, neither can I. Anyway, what are we doing right now, though?
I don't know.
Right now, I think we should just go into it because
talk about what the fuck this frog bat
is. I think that makes sense, right?
I think so. So I know we have talked about many of these Cthulhu deities, and we've mentioned Sathagua quite a few times. He kind of ties into, I say he, it, they kind of tie into like every fucking story.
Way to not misgender the frog bat goblin thing. Good.
They go out of their way. They go out of their way to make it apparent that it is not a he or a she, it is a they. So,
woke frog.
Yeah. They. Woke frog.
Woke liberal frog bat.
Does it have blue hair?
It doesn't have any hair, actually. Okay. Unless you consider the hair inside its mouth. I know that was a terrible sentence. So, Sathagua.
Whales have hair in their mouth.
They do. Baleen.
Yum.
Sathagua is also known as the Sleeper of Nekai, and they were an entity within the Cthulhu mythos. Originally created, actually, so this is going to be the first, not the, sorry, it was introduced by H.P. Lovecraft, but very, like, briefly. It was mentioned in 9 stories, but this is one of the few times that Lovecraft never really gave, like, he mentioned the name and that's it. There's a couple that he does that with, but
as
things
a thought,
like,
is one.
As a yeah, thought, he actually, yeah, is one of them. Sathagua's is another one, but Yog-Sothoth and like Nyarlathotep, he actually has like information and stories and like an origin of like where these things come from or like a descendancy or something like that. Lovecraft never did that with Sathagua. Instead, the majority of what we get is from the author, where is it? Clark Ashton Smith. And it's Clark Ashton Smith was in charge of something called the Hyperborean Cycle, which I've mentioned before, probably in our Yig episode, if I'm thinking correctly.
Sure.
Yeah. But
I'm trying to think if we did we talk about this or not.
I don't remember. So could you give us a refresher?
You're Borean.
It's just
Hyperborean meaning.
in a nutshell, it's just a series of short stories. They're inside of the setting of Hyperborea. That's it.
Yeah. If you guys remember, actually, do you guys remember us talking about the Hyperborean War between like Yig, Sathagua, and Cthulhu at the very beginning of the Earth's formation?
Is that the one with the Migos?
That was, yes, they were vampires.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yes. Yeah, the Migos of vampires. And then right. The Mountains of Madness actually gives you, like, the in-depth details, if you can consider them that, about what kind of happened in Hyperborea between the war between of the war between Sathagua and Yig to see who would control the surface of the Earth.
When does the cube come into play? I've heard about the cube in the movie The Cube.
Have you ever seen the movie
The Cube?
Yes.
You know, what was in that briefcase?
What?
The this guy,
the one that Vincent is carrying around.
Yeah,
this guy. Zo.
He opens it up and it glows orange. You never get
a
to
bunch
see
of
it.
Imitation almost... crab meat.
Then, it's probably it's probably Shromp.
Okay,
yeah, Shromp. And imitation crab meat.
It's Shromp and imitation crab meat.
Okay,
into a very dense cube. That's why everything wants it, because it's expensive. But no, I think the Yacubian cube. Honestly, I haven't found too much like. Nobody wants to write about it, and I know why. I think it's because nobody wants to put a start point to like this whole mythos and then have to fucking explain it.
If we could talk about the Yacubians another time, I have a good I did a little TikTok on them too. They're interesting peoples.
They're
if you want to call them that.
But yeah, we will go into the Yacubian cubes, but just know Sathagua came to Earth. We covered this in our Cthulhu timeline. We did it also in Mountains of Madness, as well as our Yig episode. We touched on a little bit of all of this. This is going to go over more the frog bat side instead of the snake god side. So in Clark Ashton Smith's Hyperborean Cycle, this is where we learn a little bit more about Sathagua, like why he's here, what he's here to get, who he rules, and essentially why he surrounded himself with all of the things that he has. And again, go back to our Mountains of Madness episode, and you'll hear a little bit about that as well.
No, thank you.
Okay. That was a long one.
I got better things to do with my day.
Everybody on Earth does. So, yeah, like I said, never really was described. He appeared. He actually is in third place for the amount of mentions in Lovecraft's stories with 9, just under Nyarlathotep at 10, and then Cthulhu and Shub-Niggurath at 11 of each of those. Honestly, you could make the argument that Lovecraft didn't really create Sathagua, just kind of shat the name into existence, and then people kind of took it and ran.
I wish I could do that. Just like come up with an idea and everybody else does the work for me and then I have like
then
a legacy.
Get the
yeah.
Clown really shoots for your hands and run away.
I'm really surprised that Smegmar 9 hasn't been stolen yet. So
same. We're about to see an influx of metal bands, just a heads up.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I kind of fucked myself on that one, huh?
Yeah, you did. That's okay.
Literally. Just
good content.
Gave all your secrets away.
I did. No one take.
Well,
no
now it's out there in the world as proof that if somebody you came up with it first, so if somebody steals it, you can sue them.
Yep, that's fair. The only you have to just adjust the date to when the episode came out. What else was I talking about? Oh yeah, the other authors that talk about Sathagua are going to be Robert Howard and Robert Bloch. Two Roberts, Robert squared.
Bloch. Two Robert, two furious.
Bob cubed.
But that's kind
Bob
of a...
Cubed.
Bob cubed. That's kind of just an intro to who Sathagua is, what they are. Doug, do you have anything about like, more of a physical description about
what
am I looking at?
Yeah.
Give me the image.
While you do that, I'll put it in this picture in Discord.
I think that says it all, right?
So the first description, I'm going to read a couple quotes because they're pretty funny. The first description we get of Seth Akua in the mythos is when a protagonist actually encounters one of the entity's idols. And it just says, so this is from the tale of Centampra Zyros. Never read it.
good read.
So it goes, he was a very squat and pot-bellied. His head was more like a monstrous toad than a deity, and his whole body was covered with an imitation of short fur, giving somehow a vague sensation of both the bat and the sloth. His sleepy lids were half lowered over his globular eyes.
So he ain't even a bat.
The tip of a queer tongue issued from his fat mouth. You'll see, you'll get more descriptors later, but if you were to look at this thing, he's kind of got a bat head on a toad body. Mm. So another descriptor is, let's see, where does this one start? You shall know Seth Akua by his great girth and his bat-like furriness and his look of sleep, the look of a sleepy black toad, which he has eternally. He will rise not from his place, even in the ravening hunger, but will await in the divine slothfulness for the sacrifice, which we'll get into actually all of that in a little bit. But yeah, this guy is usually sleeping. He's so fucking lazy. Like,
so
he is the most
lazy
deity there is.
Brother.
He will not leave his chambers, unless like he's being like mortally threatened. If he's disturbed, like from sleeping, he will literally just eat the person. Like if it's like if it's a worshiper, a cultist, whatever it may be, he will just eat them. Unless the person that awakens him has a sacrifice as an offer, in which case Seth Akua will eat the sacrifice instead and then just go back to sleep. So there's been a few times where this hasn't been the case, but like I'm talking typically that like this thing is just a fat piece of shit. Like,
so why would anyone be a cultist to this thing if all it does is sleep and then eat you if you try to wake it up?
I would respect him.
Honestly, he's like one of the that's a great question. I don't actually have an answer for that. However,
like,
he's
what
like
kind
one of the most he's like one of the most feared
you?
The feared like you know gods there is for some reason. He's just a
he
big,
just it just eats people. I mean, that's hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
If I was hanging out around somebody and they just ate a person whole, I'd be like, you know what?
What are you doing?
This
tonight?
Guy gets it.
Yeah.
This guy gets it.
That got
he's
me.
Playing 4D chess.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the big reasons why he has like the cultists he does is because he's kind of similar to Cthulhu and like other deities who can like change their appearance and size, but Seth Akua can actually shapeshift. So essentially he can become anything he wants, but, you know, he could be thousands of feet tall if he wanted to. So that's pretty intimidating to people, like especially humans. And he's also been noted, of giving like offering cultists, you know, knowledge and gifts, the way to like open gates to other worlds, just a lot of different things he like basically will give his followers for just feeding him and keeping him, you know, hungry without him having to actually leave his little fucking ice cave. But
Jabba
he basically and he's actually one of the only deities that can communicate with humans, like in English and or well any language really, but he can actually communicate without having to be like a telepathic insanity kind of thing.
Just
with you know with his mouth hole. He can actually do that.
Is this the first one that we've come across that doesn't talk to people through their brains and he actually uses like a mouth?
I mean, other than Nyarlathotep, I guess.
Even then, he mostly does telekinesis. He'd talk to you through telepathy.
But doesn't he take the form of humans and talk to people?
When he was the pharaoh in ancient Egypt, he did take the form of humans to gather the masses.
Yeah. So, I mean, either way, this is one of the few things that actually will talk to humans. So, The only other thing is he had a completely different shape, like altogether, when he, I guess he was ruling Saturn at one point. So
perfect.
That's, yeah, that's high praise.
Well, that's why that place went to shit.
Yeah, I'm wondering upper management, if that's what, is that, what is it, the cats of Saturn or
are you talking about biker mice from Mars?
No, no, the actual, the Lovecraft story, the is it Saturn?
I think it is cats of Saturn. I think you're right.
Why can't I think of it?
Hold on, I'm looking it up now.
Are yeah, there also cat from Saturn.
Yeah, okay. I wonder if that has anything to do with...
Oh, yeah, that's from the Dreamlands. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is there also the women from Mars and the men from Jupiter?
Oh, damn. We should have fucking talked about the Dreamlands.
That's what we should have done. Oh, well, next time, maybe.
Next time.
Different episode. But,
yeah.
But yeah, so anyways, that's pretty much his form, his shape, his, like...
Big.
His bio. So
Dixon bio.
This is, yeah, this is his Tinder profile here, in case that's your thing. So, but other than that, I did mention, like, he kind of has, like, a cave that he likes to preside in. Do you have more about that, Jason?
I do, actually.
Yeah, tell me about this cave. That's what's important. I don't know about this rock formation. Cave and bio.
First thing I do want to mention is there was, I'm going to keep coming back to the Mountains of Madness episode, because there's so much from that episode that I wanted to say then, but I knew that we haven't talked about Sathagua aside from Doug's TikTok. So I wanted to kind of wait until now, but when we were talking about at the Mountains of Madness, when the main character, the narrator, I can't remember his name, Danforth and his buddy, they went up and they found like this plateau, and they found these two cave, like what used to be caves almost. It's like the inside of a cave, but it's almost like wind had eroded it down. And one side you have a shrine and like a throne and a bunch of other stuff and a bunch of effigies to the snake god Yig. On the other side, you see the same kind of like formation, except it was just completely ruined. And then they go on, they talk about the Nakatic manuscripts and about how this cave formation might have been the shrine to Sathagua, which refers to the Necronomicon. And so what they actually found were the two, it's almost like the it's like this city was split in half between people who supported and followed Yig and people who supported and followed Sathagua. And I think what happened in the city is that these two different sides eventually reached a head, and all out war happened, and whoever won got driven underground. And this is everything that we saw in that story was kind of a go fuck yourself to both sides. But speaking of the dwelling in this cave, if he's not on Earth, Sathagua normally resides in a secret cave in the bowels of Vormithadreth. Actually, we're just going to do the full quote. You must win that secret cave in the bowels of Vormithadreth, beyond the dens wherein abides the eldermost eons, the god Sathagua. You shall know Sathagua by his great girth and his bat-like furriness, and the look of a sleepy black toad, which he has eternally. He will rise not from his place, even in the ravening hunger, but will wait in divine slothfulness for the sacrifice.
So, hell yeah. Where is said cave of wonders?
It's up in the bowels of Vormithadreth.
Yeah, yeah. Where is that?
Is Vormithadreth a being?
Yeah,
it's the continent of Hyperborea.
Oh, okay.
No, it's actually a planet. It's on the planet of Vormis. Vormithadreth is, I'm guessing, a province on that planet, or a state, or a country, or whatever the fuck they have over there.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's continent of Hyperborea. Basically a volcano.
Neat.
So can he just teleport? Like if he's time shares at Earth when he's not over at Vermesius or whatever.
When he's
not
vacationioning in Jackson Hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary. Yeah, so. He has a time share in Gary.
Gary, Indiana. Fuck yeah.
But Fro though, can he like teleport or something? Is that how he's getting from Earth to other place or?
If he can, it's not written about or like written down. A lot of, I'm sure you're aware of this. A lot of the things that we talk about in Cthulhu Corner is we kind of get left to our own devices because they explain a bit and then they just kind of stop because they can't. But either way, I digress. So his little sanctuary in Hyperborea, the planet of Vormis, these are two locations that we very well know that we could find Sathagua. Like Doug said, incredibly lazy, refuses to leave his chambers unless mortally threatened.
I get it now. I really do.
Dude, I fucking get it. I identify with Sathagua so fucking hard. I used to want to go out all the time. Now just put me in a dark room and leave me alone.
I was on board when you said Harry Girth.
I knew somebody was going to pick up on that. But anyway, so the dwelling that he's in is almost described like a slum. It's for somebody who's an outer god. He kind of lives in filth, or sorry, they kind of live in filth. It's described as being a squat plain temple of basalt blocks without a single carving, and containing only a vacant onyx pedestal. The remarkable thing about it was its story, for it was a link with the fabled Elder World, compared to which even cryptic Yoth was a thing of yesterday. And that goes into a whole bunch of other stories. So from this, it actually does say, it suggests that Sathagua can use this dwelling place as a means of getting around instantaneously wherever. So I would assume that, yes, he can teleport.
So
Basically he can, because he basically went from Saturn to Earth to Hyperborea, and then I think back to Earth or something like that.
Hyperborea is
technically on Earth,
but it's like a parallel dimension.
It's what happens if the flat earthers are right.
Correct. No. Yes. Okay.
Essentially.
Is it outside the ice wall?
I don't know if you've ever seen that, Matt. Yes, it's outside of the ice wall. Thank you, Matt. He's not kidding.
Okay.
I know he's not.
I hate that, but...
So I think the water mountains.
We say that this thing is not a he or a she, it's a they, but I'm starting to think it's a he because of the room that it has. It's so barren. You ever see those dudes are simple. You can give me a room with just a TV and a
cushion
chair,
and
I'm good. So I'm good. I think he's a dude based off of that. Like, that's all he needs is just four walls and a door, and he's set. He's very easy to just
He's super easy to please.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm honestly like, We're kind of gloating about him right now, but once we get a little forward, I don't think we're going to be doing that so much anymore. But so we've got, again, like Doug said, we've got Hyperborea / Earth / parallel, whatever. We've got Vormis. They also lived for a very long time on the planet Yuggoth, which is the Elder Things, correct? I want to say it's either Elder Things or Mego.
It's the Mego colony.
Mego colony. You
classic
are correct.
Mego.
Okay. Classic Mego. So apparently, Sathagua had something to do with either ruling over or watching over the Mego for a while, along with its parents. I'm not even going to try to pronounce any of those. That's what Mike is for.
Oh, good.
Here we go, Doug. Here we go. Eventually, Sathagua moved to Sikranash, or apparently Sikranash is another word for Saturn, and that was almost like a pit stop on the way to Earth.
Right.
Yep.
That makes sense, because I believe Yugoth is also a big stopping point for Elder gods.
The Circle K on Saturn is pretty ballin', I'm not gonna lie. They always have the precious honey buns. And the taquito. And the taquitos.
God.
Always on point. Never stuck again.
Other than all that, the only last place they were said to reside is in the ruined underwater city of Yuth near the Bahamas.
Gotta stop by the Bahamas when you're
if you want
good old Earth.
Sathagua, just go hit up the Bahamas. Maybe you'll find the bat frog, the lazy bat frog of death. That's all I have for dwelling places. He's very lazy. I can't really imagine why they would get up and move. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Which makes sense, because I have a bunch of stuff about the people that do his bidding, essentially.
Hey, Bird scooter. Successful.
Bird
like
scooter.
Like his
bird.
Servants.
Bird.
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 His servants, yes. His servitors.
Sink.
Sink?
Was that too late? Did we sink too late? All right.
No, that was perfect.
Yeah,
welcome
so...
to
sink.
Sink. okay, so Sethagua's will is usually carried
sink.
Out by what is called a formless spawn. Sink!
Sink!
All right, are we good? Hey, welcome, everyone, to Don't Look Under the Internet.
God. You could listen to any one of our episodes, and it would be the exact same
Deludy.
As any other episode. Mike's
sink.
Just dying.
Keep
I don't know. It was like 4 or 5 episodes ago, and someone was like, this is the most normal intro you guys have had in a while, and I'm not sure if I should be scared or happy.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, yeah, okay.
I want everyone to know we do try to do it normal every fucking time.
Almost
all right, let's
every
make a
time.
Commitment. Next week when we record, we're all in suits, straight to business. We get a good intro going, okay? Cool.
I would love to do an episode where we just are all like straight face, no jokes the whole time, and just see how that performs over like everything else we do.
Million views.
That's going to be really hard.
We'll sit there and just be like, you know, giving them the fucking...
number 15.
Yeah.
No laughing.
Mm. Yeah. Anyways, back to Sethagua.
Yeah. Bat Frog Boy.
Wowie,
wowie, zowie.
Walbert, Zob, Balbert. Nailed it. All right, so, formless spawn. In the story at the Mountains of Madness, H.P. Lovecraft actually states that there's a few daring mystics that hinted at a pre-Pleistocene origin. I'm not sure if I said that word right, but for the fragmentary necotic manuscripts, and have suggested that the devotees of Sethagua were as alien to mankind as Sethagua itself. And this is basically referring to the formless spawns. And just later, they'd later get mentioned that, you know, they're worse than formless star spawn, which are Cthulhu's deity servitor things. So all in all, they're not good. They're bad. Have we fought any formless spawns on anything? I can't think of any, like, I don't know if we've seen any at the Mansions of Madness or in.
Oh,
fucking...
yeah, no, there's one in the Mansions of Madness, and there's a, and... A scenario, essentially, you show up, everybody drink, where it's at this university and, like, this gate's opening and it's just shitting these fucking star spawn. And then eventually, I think they actually throw in the Leogar, which is a formless, massive spawn, but
maybe
that's as close as we get.
Maybe I didn't hear correctly, but are these things, like, a part of him? Like, he produces them?
No, they're just, like, straight up, like, black goop, sentient black goop. That
like,
does
did they come to him and be like, yeah, we're going to work for you, buddy?
Or, yeah.
Like,
how
did they come to be to him, I guess is what I mean.
That's a great question. So moving on.
I got this. The powers of deduction. So Sethagua hung out on Yuggoth for a while, right?
Yeah.
And we remember obviously. That the Migo were there, correct?
He was Yuggin.
Yeah, Offset, Takeoff, Quavo.
The Migo
yeah.
and the Elder Things don't fucking like each other. The Elder Things created the Shoggoths, which are a formless black goo to do their bidding. The Migo made the formless spawn, which is almost the same fucking thing.
Are these pretty much just symbiotes? Like Venom symbiote?
That's a very good way to look at this.
This one for sure is.
Yeah.
Like this thing is like legit just... Like black,
Venom,
and it's
Venom, 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 Venom.
Yeah, it's Eminem.
I'm not gonna know.
Yeah. So basically, there's a couple other species that do some shit for him too. He's the patron god of the Vormes, so they're furry little anthropod creatures that live at the mountains in ancient Hyperborea. The humans in Hyperborea also worship him. His cult has fluctuated over time. At one point, it was replaced with the worship of Yaunde. I'm not familiar with that one.
Can I get Yaunde? A
Yaunde? I'm not super familiar with that one.
Same.
But from that one story I was talking about, Satampra Zeros, he actually becomes no longer worshipped by humans, and then all of his temples are abandoned. And yeah, they were like, man, this guy sucks.
Fuck this guy.
Is somebody smacking their boner against the table?
I hear what that.
That was, I thought that was Mike.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's Doug.
I didn't realize you could hear that.
Put your goddamn
was it this?
Yes. Yeah.
Your boner is so fucking loud. I just remember. Never mind. Hmm.
What?
There. I'm not the only one here right now.
I just remembered. My boner your boner screams sometimes.
Oh yeah. What did we say? What did we say the boner's noise was?
Oh fuck.
What?
There was like the sound effects.
Oh yeah.
Yowza.
Yowza.
Oh man, good stuff. Yeah, so where was I now that we're past the boners talk?
Other species.
Yeah, so some other random fucking aliens worshipped him. Most notable, the Mego, as we've already kind of talked about. Star vampires, which are awesome, by the way.
Great. I'm sorry to keep cutting you off, but vampires keep getting brought up, and I'm curious. Are these vampires like what we know? Like they suck blood?
No, not really.
I mean,
no.
What makes it a vampire?
I don't know. Yeah,
it's called it.
It's called that.
No, yeah, like, got me there.
I think that's it. No, it's. I'm sure it's. There's a
like a life force there. Sucker or something. Maybe?
I think you might be right. When we go over Kathuga and the fire vampires, we'll.
It's just a bunch of Colin Robbins. More.
I've covered all of this on our TikTok, by the way. So feel free to go learn about fire vampires, Kathuga, Vormis, whatever
choo-choo.
You want. Yeah. Anyways, so he's a guy doing some stuff with some other guys.
Yeah, dude, playing a dude, this guy is another dude.
But yeah, that's really it. There's like a lot of like really like niche ones that I'm just not gonna go over because like,
yeah,
I can't Star pronounce Vampires half of these one. Things. So I kind of pick and chose. I will say I do see the word Nopkex or whatever, which are going to be in the Death May Die expansion, and I'm pretty excited because they're like bears with like six arms.
Oh, that sucks.
And yeah, they can like shoot. Oh my god, I'm terrified and also very excited for that.
Yeah.
But anyways, in this world, do they have the right to bear arms?
No.
Wow. They're all illegal.
So they're gonna get arrested. Too many bear
but
arms.
They are unedited though. So they've got one thing going for them.
I'm sorry. I thought this was Saturn.
all right. So I hate you so much.
The truck stop on Saturn is just like a constant.
Well, it's seriously though. They're like, yo, they're literally like, yeah, this is like a stopping point for elder outer
Marsh
gods.
Is taking gerbs.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking, it's just it's a big old fucking truck stop.
Space for libertarians,
aliens.
Holy crap, we need to do an episode of like putting all the Cthulhu mythos deities and creations into like political parties.
Well, judging by some of the names, they all be Republican.
I knew you couldn't resist.
Can't not go there. All right, so this is a good spot for this. Why don't we put Mike on the spot?
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah,
is this another bit where I get canceled?
Yeah, more than likely.
Honestly, maybe. It depends on how well you do with these.
Should we just have him read off the family tree, or should we have him just go over the family and see where he goes?
Quit banging
this?
Your boner against the table.
Damn it.
Throw it away.
I can't. So what's really throwing me off? What's really throwing me off is because I can't hear myself in my headphones when I talk, I can't hear the dumb shit I'm doing outside of my headphones. So like the fact that I'm like hitting the table with this every once in a while, I have to be fidgeting. So I've got my fucking my ice cube, cube. Yeah. Fun fact. Oh, he has one too.
My favorite part is the only word you've used to describe this thing that keeps slapping against the table is ice cube. And this entire time you're like, I can't stop smacking it. Oh, he has one too. For anyone not on the video, got no idea what we're talking about.
That's a good sound.
Look, Jason and Doug both have one. That's crazy.
They're like $4, and they're the best squishy thing I've ever felt in my life.
Wow.
So let's go over the family, I guess. I'll do that, I suppose.
Yeah. Let's hear. What do you got about Seth Agu's family?
So do you want me to read this family section or just go down the list of names like Doug said? Which one did you guys want me to do?
How about I give a basic overview of the family, and then we let you tell the people what the family's name is and what their relation to Seth Agu they are.
I don't know if that answered my question, but let's do it.
Yes, it did. Oh, he's going to read that part, and then you're going to list off the name.
Cash.
Yep.
Cash Monkey.
Cash Monkey.
Cash Monkey. That funky monkey.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, so if you guys remember me mentioning, what's his name? Smith is his last name. I'm not scrolling back up because this webpage keeps failing me. Smith is the reason that Seth Agu,
Clark Ashton Smith.
Clark Ashton Smith, thank you.
John he's kind of Jacob. Clark
that's his brother. So he actually is the one that put Seth Agu's family together. And he kind of took Lovecraft's notion of mythology within the Cthulhu mythos, and he also kind of paired it up with the Greek pantheon. And he assigned different familial relationships to his gods. Now, we've been doing this thing, and this is the reason that this happened is because of his dwelling place of Saturn kind of aligns with the Roman Greek god pantheon. So, Mike, would you be able to read out the name of Seth Agu's uncle?
No. he's such an age. He's from Saturn. His name is... Before you laugh, let me just throw this in the chat so you can see what the fuck I'm working with here. Hang on. I think this is the hardest one I've come across yet.
Hands down.
Oh.
It literally looks like someone just took the keyboard and went.
I'm almost positive that's what happened.
It's just Icelandic.
That's what I'm working with.
You got this, man. I believe in you.
All right.
He's got two letters down.
Hizukwagmenzeha.
Considering this word is never meant to be said by human tongues, you did fantastic.
Am I going
to
die?
That's probably the best thing to hope
for. You're summoning demons currently.
Yeah, 100%.
Honey, we have to move. Get the sub pump. Let's go.
So,
is that part of your fire escape plan? You gotta grab the sub pump.
Everyone, get in. So, Hizul Quagmazaza.
No, it's Hizul Quagmazaha.
Thank you. We had the resident expert. Is the uncle of Seth Agu, and this is all covered in the Parchments of Phnom. And that is Hyperborea's leading genealogist and noted prophet. That's Phnom, P-N-O-M. And so he's got a bunch of writings that tell about all this kind of stuff. So that tells us about his uncle. Apparently, both Smith and Lovecraft agree that Seth Agu is one of the descendants of Azathoth, but no one can really determine which one. I mean, that's kind of obvious, though.
But they don't know where he is on the family tree.
They don't know where he actually fall or where they actually fall in the family tree. They have suppositions and they have hints, more or less, but that's all we're kind of working with. Mm. Okay. He had...
Ooh, that's a fun
holy
name.
Shit.
Ooh, that sounded meaty.
That was meaty.
It was girthy.
It was very girthy. So one of the first sons that Seth Agu had was named
Khazad-dûl-ra.
Thank you, Mike. And this one was absolutely, I think he was devoured, but absolutely destroyed in a fit of jealousy. You're born. I'm jealous. Goodbye. Seth Agu had at least two children with his wife named
Shat-hack.
I think it's Shathak, but Shat-hack.
Shat-hack
works just as well.
I prefer Shat-hack.
Yeah.
Shathak,
now maybe? Now and going forward, it is Shat-hack.
Shathak.
Yo, did you look at the picture of Shat-hack?
I have not yet, but I'm gonna fucking know.
It's fucking Flubber.
Oh my god!
Flubber. It is Flubber with a Plague Man mask on.
Yeah, wow.
Huh.
Huh.
What's up, YouTubers? I'm coming at you today with 10 Shat Hacks.
So, the children that Sathagua had with Shat Hack, the first one's name was... Mike.
Osadagoa.
Osadagawa. Oh, hell yeah.
Don't give me this. Also known as. What is this?
No, we're not doing that. I'll be nice.
Also known as. No, I got it. Zvilpogwa.
You're going to be an expert at pronouncing Rulian names.
I am channeling my inner. What's his face? The mad Arab guy that spawned it all.
Abdul Al-Zareb.
Him. I'm channeling him.
You know what? Abdul. Very nice. You know what Zvilpogwa looks like?
No.
Squid.
I feel like that's the safest bet when you're talking about Lovecraftian things.
Yeah, something with tentacles.
Yeah, 100%. Cosmic horror and tentacles go together.
Just octopus. Yeah.
Octopus. Another kid. This one, you don't have to pronounce
Vroom.
This one. Yeah.
Vroom.
And so Sathagua, I think it's Vorm. It's Vorm. And... also known as the Patriarch of the Vormis, which is the people of... it's the planet Vormis, and that's where you hear about his throne room. He's got a huge tie to this place. If we keep going down, we get Asadagawa's daughter, or Zvilpogwa's daughter, also known as...
Safatclip.
Yep.
Safatclip.
Safatclip. Yeah.
Who was actually present on Earth at some point, and that is where she mated with a Vormi, which is one of the people of Vormis, and gave birth to...
I don't like this one.
Just be careful.
Nigathin?
Cool. Yeah. That's it?
Nigathin Zahom?
I think it's just Zaum.
Zaum?
Like a very chesty, like Zaum. Zaum.
Oh, this answer. Hey, shut up real quick. This answers our question. Keep reading, Mike.
Who's?
Oh, nice.
Whose descendants regain the Azathonian ability to reproduce asexually and become the form of spawn?
Hey,
so they did make them.
They did. Yes,
I had no idea.
Same. I just thought they were kind of an offshoot of like the the Kirkland brand Shoggoth. apparently not. That's cool. I didn't know that. Another child of Sathagua, or possibly another name for somebody that was previously mentioned.
Yabu.
Yeah, boy.
Booyah.
And the descendants of this deity include...
Nush.
Just come on, man. Let's do it.
And Nush the Eternal and Giles Grenier. And Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
You also Hippolyte Le Sorcier. And Clark Ashton Smith, the guy we've been talking about the whole time.
Yep. So those last few descendants are like so fucking niche that like the only reason we have them is because H.P. Lovecraft wrote just a letter to a guy and talked about it.
I will say that the letter, like Lovecraft's letters, are super interesting. If you ever want to dig into like inspirations,
so Clark Ashton, he helped find the information.
They knew each other. Well,
these guys,
Lovecraft and Clark Ashton Smith knew each other.
They were
so Lovecraft was like, "You're my buddy. I'm gonna make you some sort of godly being in my stories."
Well, he made himself that, but yes.
Oh, so he's got a little bit of a fucking complex, huh?
Maybe.
Just so you know, Clark Ashton Smith is a fictional character that H.P. Lovecraft wrote.
Correct.
I thought they're buddies.
They're real good
friends.
Yeah.
Oh,
the book of Clark Ashton Smith.
It's Lovecraft is schizophrenic. Got it. Cool.
I wanted to wait a little further in to do this, but we're like pretty much at the end. So
we're at the end. So let's rip the fucking Band-Aid off.
Yeah. So Lovecraft ended up writing all of this, but he wrote that a guy wrote about all of this. So it's
Clark Ashley Smith was his like pseudonym name or whatever. Like how?
No, it was just a guy he wrote into a story that he wrote.
This guy. So let me be clear.
He said that Clark. He said that Smith wrote the story, though, right?
Let me be clear. Clark Ashton Smith was an author, an American author. He was also a character in the Lovecraft mythos, who is part of the family tree of Sathagua.
But he's not real.
He is real.
He is
but
real.
He just said he wasn't.
Correct.
The person we just mentioned, Clark Ashton Smith, being a descendant of Sathagua, that is a fake person. And
so if I wrote a book and then said that there was a character in the book named J.K. Rowling, and then said she wrote the book,
but she didn't
write the book, is basically what's happening here.
So here,
right. is this a Joe Hill situation where it's actually Stephen King's kid calling himself Joe Hill?
Clark Ashton Smith is real. He's a real author, real writer.
He's one of the big horror writers.
Heavily influenced by Lovecraft. A lot of the story comes from Lovecraft writing about him in some of these situations. A lot of it is actually written by him, by Clark Ashton Smith, but... Yep. It's just funny that he does that in his stories, was what I was getting at.
Yeah. It's similar to like Houdini, how in Trapped with the Pharaohs, literally it's Harry Houdini who is the main character and gets trapped in one of the basements of one of the pyramids in Egypt. Obviously, that didn't happen as far as I fucking know. However, the main character is Harry Houdini, and Harry Houdini was a real person.
Houdini's in Lovecraft stories?
Oh, constantly. Oh,
that's fun.
Lovecraft was obsessed with Houdini.
I can imagine. He was a man who escaped death a lot.
Well, it was the weird. It was that like that not normal, and that's what Lovecraft loved.
Yeah.
So that's since we're on the topic, Smith was considered one of like the three biggest weird horror writers of like the early 1900s. And it was Lovecraft, it was Clark Ashton Smith, and Robert E. Howard. And they all kind of contributed to this weird fucking horror. And all three of these authors all pulled inspiration from Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Do you think they ever collabed?
100%.
They wrote stories together?
I'm pretty sure Clark Ashton Smith and Lovecraft collabed at some point.
Oh, they had to have.
Yeah.
For half the shit. Yeah,
for the details they come up with and stuff, 100%. I think they do. But I think it's kind of cool. Excuse me. I think it's cool that not only did Lovecraft know this other horror writer that was one of like the big three horror writers, he actually took the time to like write him as a character in his own mythos.
That's
super cool to me.
It's like a little homage.
That way it's hard to know sometimes too. Like there's so much like mythos and stuff that like just being able to. Did like I haven't read it all, obviously. I don't know. I'm sure there are people that have, but deciphering what's Lovecraft and what's other people's is really only you'd have to go and look at like a wiki or something to like know what's going on. Cause there's a lot of this stuff I know about, but I've never read, and like I don't know if there's a good place to get just like a complete fictions of other people's Lovecraft writings like I have for Lovecraft. So
like a TLDR, but specific to like that author's mythos. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but yeah.
All right.
Be cool to get.
You know what else would be cool?
Your mom.
What?
Oh, wait, is she here?
She is pretty fucking cool.
She is here. And
she's here to verify that. I think.
Mm. Very cool. Everyone listening. Went to Deluti.com.
Okay, I'm going to Deluti.com right now.
Hell yeah.
All right, what
and
am
then
I doing?
Became
here?
A member.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
I already am.
Hell yeah. What? Hell yeah.
Did you seriously? No, we're not doing this again, Matt. We're not doing this again.
That's the only way you can get all of our content.
Yeah, or you can go to patreon.com/DelutiPod and become a patron there. You get bonus materials. It's some really fun stuff, and we give it to you. You better believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Also,
nothing threatening with that sentence.
We'll give it to you. Also, you can go to places like buymeacoffee.com/DelutiPod, or like you can go to any of our socials. We're DelutiPod, or Don't Look Under the Internet everywhere. You can also do things like go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to our YouTube, because that'd be pretty dope. And you can see everything that's going on. Like, you can see a picture of a dog, a Finley, on Jason's TV right now. His TV.
Jason's TV.
Jason's TV. So if you can get all this information, and all you have to do is look us up on the Google, DelutiPod, or Don't Look Under the Internet. You could also email us at DelutiPod@gmail.com. Email us whatever you want. We're usually pretty good with responding. Hey, look, this cat.
It might take us a couple days.
I mean, it'd be what it do, and it do what it be, right?
We're busy.
You could are also. We?
I know you are, Matt.
Am I?
Almost all day, every day, for the next however many days.
You could also, and hear me out.
I'm sure you have a countdown. Go ahead, Mike.
Go
I
to
cut
our
you off
Google
rudely.
Phone
I'm
number.
Keep doing it, apparently.
Google phone number, 630-909-9366. You can text us. We'll text you back. You can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show, like the one that might be at the end of this, if we have any left over. Pretty sure we do. Honestly, this is going to be a...
Oh, no.
We should have plenty, considering we had like 5 come in for the live show.
That's what I was going to say. Are we counting the ones from Delete?
Yeah, fuck it. We can throw those on.
Well, the stream is gone forever now, so we should probably put...
Fair.
Some
what
of
we
those
can.
In.
What we've salvaged.
Yeah. Other than that, the only thing I got to say to you is PO Box. We have a PO Box in the description. Send me Megamind DVDs. I got a fat ass stack right here, and I want more, though. I need more. So go to the PO Box, send me Megamind DVDs, and whatever else you want to send us, whether it be fun little things, knickknacks of such.
Send Megamind merch, too. I want.
I took that.
We've said this before, but I really want there to be so much Megamind stuff that Mike can open one of those like side of the highway billboard things where it's like, come see the world's biggest collection of whatever the fuck, but it's just Megamind stuff.
World's biggest Megamind collection. Yeah.
How
2 miles out.
How funny would that be? Yeah. Can we please make that happen? That would be incredible. If that's our only goal with this podcast, I'm happy.
Yeah. And then I want each and every one of you to just go out there and hug a stranger. They may not like it, and you may not like it, but you'll grow as a person in some way by doing it. Doug, what do you got to say to the people?
I don't know. I guess
wise words.
be cool.
Wise words from a dumb man.
You know, cool. be fine to do and stuff.
Awesome. We may also, since we're talking with Doug here, you may not hear a whole heck of a lot from Doug coming up here lately.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be going to Disney soon. So we may be a little absent of Doug in the next couple episodes. So
good riddance.
Don't be alarmed. Good riddance.
If you guys see a new podcast where a man just lives in Disney by hiding underneath the rides, you might have found out what happened to Doug and why there's only 3 of us.
A guy tried to do that because there's like a abandoned island or something at Disney World that used to be a smaller park inside the park, and like he swam to it and then tried to live there.
And yeah, they're pretty on top of that. Him. It's
it
fucking
didn't last very long.
Discovery Island or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh, I think I need to look up. That sounds fucking interesting as hell.
Jason.
There's a good YouTube channel of a guy who does I forget his name, but he does urban exploring, and he does like all the Disney stuff. He like climbed up fucking Everest and got like on top of the
shit.
He got on top of Disco Yeti, and like he does all this crazy shit. So
sounds all like right. It kind of sounds like that guy was like a Mr. Beast video. I spent 12 days in an abandoned island at Disney for $100,000.
No, I'm sure he didn't make a fucking cent off of that trip.
Probably not. Jason, what you people say?
Paranoid stay. I don't know. Go read up on some bullshit that you can't comprehend or understand or know what any of it looks like, because it's super interesting. I don't know. Or make your own fucking world, write about it, and open up the rights so all of us can help expound on it.
Cash. Moot.
Sink! 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 You got it, man. Dead on. Beginning of the episode.
Beautiful.
Mike, what do you have to say to the beautiful people?
I already said my piece, but I'll also say
give them more. They want
go to
more
Ghoulish
Mike.
Mortals in St. Charles, Illinois, and tell them that Diluti sent you. Put a smile on their face. You could also go to Undefined Graphics, Mike Lowy, for any of your graphic art or photography needs, because the man is a legend and a genius at that stuff.
He fucking is. And he's busy also as look shit up the midnight, right now, too.
Yeah, look at the Midnight Movie Distillery. That's the our friends over at Ghoulish Mortals. That's their podcast as well. And yeah, all
Mike,
all,
have you been featured on any programs lately?
No. None that are recorded. Still trying to piece that together because my schedule has been absolute awful. Anyway, that's all I got. And I hope you all have a blessed rest of your day. May Jesus Christ be with you through your days.
Hail Satan. redact that.
Goodbye, everybody. This is Walter Cronkite with ABC News.
Don't.
And I'm signing off. James McAvoy.
Mr. Tumnus, that's right. How are you?
Bye.
I am James.
I am James.
Bye. Bye.
Sing.